This is Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Yes, it is. What are the Knicks? We're halfway through. Let's discuss. Carlin, 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN, friends. On Twitter, at Chris Carlin. By all means, check in there. That guy Carlin over on Instagram. The video stream up and running at 98.7 ESPN's Twitter handle and on ESPN New York's Facebook page. The New York Knicks are halfway through the season at 18-17. And I've said this throughout the course of the week, that earlier in the week, I told you I finally bought in. I'm on board. I think this is a good team. I really, truly do. I believe that they're a team that is better slightly than most of the other teams that they are even in the loss column with, which is pretty much half the Eastern Conference. But I believe that they are a team that has bought in so much into their head coach and into the plan of what they want to do. And they've had a player who was not marginal, but let's be fair, never had truly lived up to what he thought he was going to be up until this season. We've seen him this year play out of his mind in Julius Randle. And there's an energy to the Knicks that is so encouraging and so much fun to watch. And fans have so gotten into it this year that it's well within your rights to have all these positive feelings about where things are headed. But you have to look at this from an outside perspective, because I'm right there with you. But let's collectively take a step back, because I wonder if you had some truth serum for Leon Rose, if you had some truth serum for Tom Thibodeau, do they think this team is good? What do they think this team is? Because you could look at it as a glass half full, as a glass half empty. You could look at it as a team that very easily could finish in the fourth spot in the East. Probably won't, because they do have a tricky second half and certainly start with a real challenge with the Bucks and the Thunder and the Nets and the Sixers all on the road. But you could certainly make the case that with the style with which they play, that they are a good basketball team. And I would believe that. I believe they're one that frankly deserves a little bit of help, as we talked about earlier in the week. I'm just wondering if you really got the truth serum in them, do they see this as a glass half full situation? Or do they see this just as some early results that have come about through a drastic change in the style of coaching and how things are run? And you are getting the most out of a group of players that has some talent, but certainly there are more talented teams in the Eastern Conference who have not played up to their ability this year. The Knicks have maximized their ability. And man, that's an honorable trait. And it's something that we have not seen in a very long time. Well, frankly, we haven't seen enough ability in a long time either. But there is a big difference between talking about how hard a team plays, how locked in defensively they can be, how players are developing, and understanding that you have a really good team. We know that the Knicks are not a top three team in the Eastern Conference. We know that they would lose a playoff series to any one of them. And we know that this is supposed to be a long process. This is not supposed to happen this quickly. And normally, when it does happen this quickly, you have to understand that maybe it's some fool's gold. And I do believe there is a degree of that involved here. Does that mean that you don't go out and try to make the playoffs and try to do all the right things this season to help this group out? Absolutely not. It does mean that you do not in any way forsake your future with any potential move that would really have an impact on your future. So that brings us to a few weeks from now, when the NBA trade deadline comes along. You know, Julius Randle has been so good. So good. And people are talking about how important he's going to be to the future of this organization. He's just 26 years old. You could make the argument he's coming into his own. I would caution on something. I would caution against believing quite yet that Julius Randle is a big part of the Knicks' future. And I think we're going to find out in a few weeks how they feel. Because like we're already hearing people talk about Bobby Marks talking about what an extension could look like at 4 years and $106 million. Can we just pump the brakes a little bit on 35 games? I'm not criticizing. I just would like a larger sample size to when I'm making decisions on who's going to be a big part of the future or who's going to be a big part of the future by shipping them away. So the Knicks have that terrible stretch to begin the second half. The trade deadline is March 25th. So let's play this out for a minute, shall we? Let's argue that they open the second half, and I think fairly, by going 1-3 against Milwaukee, Oklahoma City, Brooklyn, and Philadelphia. Up to the deadline, you've got four more games after that. Orlando, okay. Philadelphia again. And then Washington on the 23rd before you get Washington again on the 25th. And then when you start to look beyond that, you've got Milwaukee, you've got Miami. Got a couple of softies, and you got Brooklyn, Boston. You got Memphis, you got Toronto, you got the Lakers. I mean, the second half schedule has its share of a few softies, but not exactly what you would look at and say, this is going to be an easy route to the playoffs. The good teams are supposed to take care of the teams that they are better than. The Knicks have done that lately. They have beaten up on Detroit. They have beaten Indiana. They have beaten Minnesota. They beat up Sacramento. They beat up the Hawks. These are the things that they are supposed to do. Are they going to get enough bites at the apple in the second half of the season to really make the decision of keeping Randle so easy? I just wouldn't go out and predict quite yet that it's 100% a lock that they don't trade him. I'm not advocating to trade him. I just think that we all get caught up in this glorious sunshine of actual good basketball. And we're seeing one thing and feeling so good about it when really, we are looking at it through Knicks colored glasses, if we're going to be truthful. We understand what the talent level is on the team. And it's nowhere near what it's going to need to be in the future to contend in the Eastern Conference. To truly contend. And that's the goal. So is Julius Randle better served being a part of the Knicks for this year and for next when they keep him at $20 million, if they do? Or are they better served by going out and getting a couple of more first-round picks for him from a team that could really use him? It's an argument that has many, many valid points on both sides. Myself, I would keep him. Don't think it's a lock. Don't think it's a lock. Not when that's how the second half starts. And then the second half looks pretty tricky at times. You know, you've got some teams that are below you in the standings, but we know are not pushovers. You have to remember to look at this through the clearest eyes possible and recognize that this team here, as much as you all don't want to move away any of the pieces and want to see this team continue to gel and continue to come together and continue to play harder and be better, this is not the team. It's about talent. This is not the team. Make the playoffs. Go as far as you can. Sure. But if in a couple of weeks this is falling apart and you're getting a pretty good offer for Randall, you shouldn't be turning that aside. 800-919-3776. You have to at least keep your eyes open and keep your mind open when it comes to trading away Julius Randle before March 25th. It's just thinking big picture. And that is what successful teams do. Let's not waste any time. Your open lines, 800-919-3776, 800-919-ESPN, Twitter at Chris Carlin. We get to those very, very shortly, but we begin the evening with Jason in Nyack. Jason, what's going on, dude? How are you?
I'm all right, Chris. How you doing today?
I'm great. What do you got for me, bud?
Good, man. I mean, I kind of disagree with you. You sounded very pessimistic and passive aggressive about how the Knicks are playing. I mean, you know, based on this is basically the same team that they had last year. You know, they're playing them a lot better at this point in the season than they were last season. One game above 500 historically in the East is going to get you to the playoffs.
Oh, absolutely.
I know a lot of things can happen. A lot of things can happen in the second half of the season, but I can't see this team, you know, with Tom Thibodeau and the way he's coaching and got these guys playing, that they're just going to completely fall off the cliff and all of a sudden
not
make the
playoffs. Well, no, Jason, but let's be clear about something, okay? Let's understand the big picture here. As much as we're all enjoying watching this, and I personally believe that they'd be better off going out and getting somebody that can help them in the short term, but is not going to cost them a ton for the long term. In other words, if you want to go get Victor Oladipo for the rest of this year, and he's a free agent, I'm good with that. You go ahead and you do that. If you got to give up a first round, you got to give up Dallas's first round pick in 2023 that's protected, go nuts. Absolutely. I'm on board. These guys deserve to get some help. But let's just not lose sight of the bigger picture. And the bigger picture is a long-term one with this team. And the younger guys are the ones that you are truly focusing on being part of the solution. Randall might be. But if there's a good enough offer for you, you have to look at it.
He's still on the young side, you know, at 26.
Yeah, no, he's 26. No, he's 26. And they have him next year for $20 million if they want him. There's only like $4 million guaranteed on his contract for next year. But obviously, they would keep him. I just don't think we need to go into an idea of, all right, we off of 35 games are now going to start talking about a four-year extension for Randall. We're not there.
Oh, no.
Well, that's being talked about already.
Yeah,
that's being talked about.
I mean, at this point, Chris, I got to be honest with you. I mean, we got him for one more year on the cheap. I mean, if we're going to talk about trading Randall, it should be next year's trade deadline. You know, try to add maybe in free agency a player or two. You know, to help us here maybe at the three-point line, maybe a little bit defensively, maybe at the center position, the backup Mitch Robinson. But getting rid of him this year should be a no-no. But trading
it's not Jason. It's not getting rid of him. And thanks for the call. It's not getting rid of him. It's just really thinking in the long term. It's not tossing in the towel on the rest of the year. Do you really think that this team, as constituted, is the basis of what the future is completely? The answer to that is no. The answer to that is no. Some of the younger guys, R.J. Barrett, Quickly, you like those guys. Mitchell Robinson, we'll see if he continues to develop, but I have a feeling that Mitchell Robinson's going to better serve the Knicks as a trade piece soon. And when it comes to Randall, he has been off the charts great. And I don't want to take a thing away from him. But I'm at least going to keep my eyes open to the situation. Spike in Jersey. Spike, what's going on, brother?
Good to hear you. All right, let's go over the Knicks scenario. I 100% agree with you. I believe the Knicks will wind up in the range of, what is the number, 72? So it'll be like 35-37, and they'll be in eighth seed based upon the schedule. And I'll be thrilled with that. And I'll be thrilled if they take the one game and then you make your move. For a while, prior to this year, I thought Julius Randle was going to turn into Okafor. You know, he was all right. He was a numbers hanger when I played under the basket. Then he snapped into good form, whether it's a training, who cares? Like last night's game. That was a must-win game. And I'm hearing these stories from all these hoops guys I talk to. Well, Detroit played Toronto and Orlando, and they please stop. And they came in 4 a.m, and the toilets weren't working.
No, you have to beat the daylights out of Detroit when you're supposed to. They're a bad basketball team, and the Knicks are. Look, here's the best part: the Knicks are not a bad basketball team. That's what everybody should be happy about.
They're not a good basketball, right? But they're not a good basketball team yet. And they kicked Detroit's ass last night. Stinks.
Yeah. They're good right now. Tomorrow. They're beating teams they're supposed to beat, and it's not a knock on them for doing it. But if you come out in the second half and you have a bad first 5 or 6 games and you're right up against the deadline, then it can alter your thought process pretty quickly.
Look, I agree with you 100%. This team is a picture of the coach. I saw something in last night's game. I don't know if you watch a game like I do, but I watch the coach. I really watch him. Mm-hmm. And there was a missed assignment because this team's winning 90% of their games on the defensive end, and I'll argue with anyone. That's the way they win their games. They get through the screens and picks, and I know you did Rutgers. And I'm watching, and there was a missed assignment up by 14. The game was looked like a lock the whole way. Thibodeau said some unpleasantries. He had UB Brown's potty mouth. I won't say who he said it to. And called a timeout. And he was all over this guy. It was subtle, but for 5 seconds. Mm-hmm. And he folded his arms tight like he was waiting for his number to be called. And that's why I love Thibodeau. Game's going to be a couple of games under based upon the quality of the opposition they're playing. That's fine. If you can get someone for Randall, it's like stocks, sell high, buy low. And that's fine, too. But you got to jump up. You got to get like a Beal.
Well, that's the best thing. That's the best thing that you should say.
Oladipo's shooting 29% from three.
No, I understand that. But Oladipo's an end-of-the-year guy. Oladipo's not a guy you're giving up a ton for, Spike. Thanks for the call. He's a guy that you're giving up a couple of second-round picks in Frank Ntilikina because he's a free agent at the end of the year. Others might want the expiring contract. You know, it strikes me that doesn't quite have as much value as it used to be because it is so difficult to attract free agents to different places, but it's still very valuable. But I think for the Knicks, it's not. Like, if you want to go give them a couple of second round picks that now become more valuable because of the high school age players being eligible for the draft, all that, by all means, do it. Absolutely do it. But when it comes to Randall, I'm leaving the door open because it is 35 games. And you should not necessarily believe what you see over that stretch of time to be the truth when it's taken as long as it has to get here. Salah in Harrison, New Jersey, next, 98.7 ESPN. Salah, what's going on?
Hey, man, thanks for having me on. And,
yes, sir.
You know, you guys were already talking about, you know, trading Julius Randle and the potential of doing that. And first I want to say it's funny how, you know, as Knicks fans, we wait so long, losing seasons, bottom of the East. We finally have some optimism. We have a guy we could build around in Randle. And then already we're already
See, that's where you lose me. Okay, you can have your optimism, but we don't know that you can build around Julius Randle after 35 good games. That's a strong statement.
No, I get that, but just talking about this, it kind of reminds me, not just geographically, of the Nets 2 years ago. You get a guy like D'Lo, who wasn't a good fit in L.A., comes to the Nets, breaks out, all-star, takes them to the playoffs, they make some noise. Are we saying the Knicks are going to do that? No. They still have half the season left. But then you got guys surrounding Russell. You know, you got Jared Allen, similar to Mitchell Robinson, Caris LeVert, we got RJ. You got guys who could build around that, young players, over for the long term. And then instead, they traded. They got Kyrie. In the end, yeah, they got the superstars. But
yeah, you're losing the argument here against yourself.
Young guys.
I get it. Thanks for the call. Look, I love Jared Allen. I think they miss him defensively. You're losing the argument against yourself. You're basically saying, yeah, they build around those guys and make some noise and all that. Oh, but yeah, but they did get Kyrie and Durant after all, and they did trade away the rest of them so that they could get Harden. So, you know. Yeah, good argument. Thanks for making it for me. I could have just had a cup of coffee. 800-919-3776. Open lines. You can also comment over on the video stream at 98.7 ESPN New York's Twitter handle and on ESPN New York's Facebook page where Fizz Ed checks in with who is the team that would offer something worth the future for Randle. Well, just to give you an idea, Fizz Ed Rich, the teams that are in the mix for the playoffs that can trade picks, first round picks right now, because there are a bunch that can't. Philadelphia can a couple the next couple years. Boston, Charlotte, Toronto, San Antonio, Denver. Those are teams that could trade first round picks in the short term. And there's a limitation or two in there on one of them, but the Sixers can do it for the next couple of years. Not saying that they're going to want Julius Randle. I don't know who's going to want Julius Randle. I don't know what the offers are going to be. My point is simply this. If you're a playoff team right now that thinks you have a legitimate chance and you might be one Julius Randle away, then maybe you go and do that. This is what I'm talking about. I'm getting absolutely destroyed for my John Candy takes earlier. I'll get to those in a bit. John Candy is just one of my all-time favorites. I was crushed when he passed away. It was 1993, I believe, but he was only 43 years old. And it was March 4th. That's why it came up. So somebody asked me for my top five John Candy movies, and it's like asking me to, you know, pick my favorite children if I had any, or asking me to, you know, pick my favorite potato chip. 800-919-3776. Mark in Carmel, New York. Next, 98.7 ESPN. Mark, what's up?
Yeah, hey, Chris, how you doing? I just want to say I'm a fan. I enjoy listening to you, but I have to disagree. I think about what you're saying about Julius Randle. When you started talking about him, I kind of remember him being a good player. So if you go back and look at his stats, he's gotten better every year. He's from like 15 to 15, he's gotten to 13 points, 16 points, 21 points. last year, the COVID year, he averaged 20, now 23. He's gotten better every year, so he's proven himself over 5 years.
Yeah, but you have to be careful, okay? You have to be careful with a guy like that, because when you're just going to look at his numbers slowly improving, he was on and in some situations where somebody had to score. You know, like last year, somebody had to score the point. This year, I'm not going to argue. This year, Julius Randle is playing some fantastic basketball, some fantastic two-way basketball. But if you were to get a solid offer for him, I would have to think about that. I really would. You know, and it's not, Mark, that I am in a hurry to trade him. I just don't want to think of Julius Randle as a centerpiece of this team over the next 4 or 5 years when we've really only seen him do it for half a season at this level. That's all.
Well, I don't know what level you're talking about. The NBA is the NBA. So, of course, you evaluate
the level he's playing at. At the level he is playing at, in other words, as well as he is playing, I want to see him continue to do that for an entire season at least before I'm going to believe that this is it.
Go to
Mark, don't look at numbers like that. You have to watch the player. Somebody has to score points when the team stinks, like last year.
Okay.
Somebody had to score points.
I'm not talking about last year. I'm talking about go all the way back to with the Lakers, the Pelicans.
The Lakers and the Pelicans were not teams that were truly competitive yet when he was there. I have to go back and look at his Lakers teams, but Julius Randle was not a guy that was going to be a big piece of what the Lakers' future was. Thanks for the call. I mean, this was not the case when he was with those teams. You didn't look at him and say, well, here's a real good, valuable player. In fact, I'm kind of arguing against myself, because when they got him, I didn't hate it. I truly didn't. But, I mean, just to give you an idea, I mean, you're talking about the Lakers before LeBron got there. So, I'm not getting that pumped up about them when that was a few years ago and they weren't anywhere near ready. I got to look while we're talking about it. I take another call while I'm doing this, but this is going to annoy me because I know I'm right. Marvin in the Bronx. You know I'm right.
Chris, calm down, man. You know, I know it's Friday, and I know you want to get to the weekend. But look, as
I want to have a good show tonight first. That's what's most important.
You always have a good show, my man. And I'm not just patting you on the back. You do an excellent job.
I know.
No. See, after walking through the desert for the last few years and sighting water, of course your vision can be a little clouded. And I see what you're coming from. But I'm going to flip it on you, Chris. What if the Knicks win 6 out of their first 8 games after the All-Star break?
Oh,
what do you say then?
Yeah, no, listen. Marvin, I am still very much in the camp of get these guys some help because they deserve that. You know, like, if you could get them a little bit of help and the Knicks could finish as a 4 or a 5 seed, they can win a round in the playoffs. And they deserve, everybody deserves that. If they do come out and win 6 of 8 or whatever the number is before March 25th, the deadline, if they come out gangbusters, they have a great road trip, bingo. I'm on board. Let's go.
I want to say 2 things. The person I'm concerned about, you got to keep Dolan out of the mix. As long as he's not in the shadows of coming into the picture, I could deal with anything they do. And the second thing is, Chris, you know I owe you a dinner for the Yankees.
Yeah, I know. But when can we do that now, you know?
We'll do it. I'll keep my word. But look, my man, you do an excellent job. Don't ever fear you don't.
I don't. No, I'm arguing about this other point, Marvin, and thanks for checking in, man. I'll talk next week. I'm arguing this other point. It's exactly what I'm talking about. The Lakers, when Randle was around, you know, I'm not going to count his first year because he basically broke his leg in the first game. But they won 17 games. They won 26 games. They went and won like 33 games. Like, they were bad teams. And on bad teams, somebody has to score the points. On the 2017-2018 team, they were 35-47. 35 and 47. I mean, for Pete's sake. Randle, Kyle Kuzma, Brandon Ingram are your top three players there. This is the point. Somebody has to score the points in those spots. When you have a team, like this, I think you have to understand that the Randle that we are seeing now is much different than the Randle that we have seen before in his career and last year as a Knick. There is a lot of truth to the notion that when you have a bad basketball team, somebody's numbers are going to get inflated because somebody's got to score the points. Made me doubt myself, you son of a mother. Carlin, 98.7, ESPN at 800-919-3776. You know, everybody is just hammering me, leaving Cool Runnings out of the John Candy list. Cool Runnings is a very, very good movie. But here's my problem with Cool Runnings, okay? We kind of romanticize that whole Jamaican bobsled team thing, okay? You know, I got Al Troutwig in there saying they're contention for a medal. Listen, they were not winning a medal and it fell apart. And yes, it was a honorable ending and all that. It's a good movie. Cool Runnings, little too sappy for me. Not a bad John Candy movie. Top 10, not top 5. Take that somewhere else. Just take that somewhere else. We'll continue on the Knicks for just a few more minutes. And I really, you know, I was talking about Leon Rose and Tibbs at the beginning of the show. I honestly wonder, like, if you ask Tibbs and you could get him to tell you the truth, what he thinks this team is. Does he think this team is good? Does he think this team is worth keeping intact over the long haul because there are truly great pieces here? I mean, I think there are some really good pieces, okay? I think we've seen Quickley can play. I think we'll see him hit a wall at some point. I think R.J. Barrett has grown by leaps and bounds this year, and it's been phenomenal to watch. Randall's been off the charts. But when you are still planning on what you're going to do for the long haul, and first-round picks are the number one currency that there is currently in the NBA, why wouldn't you at least look at what the options are going to be, especially if you start the second half poorly? We talked about this earlier, but it bears mentioning. You know, we know that out of the gate in the second half, the Knicks are on the road for four. Milwaukee, then Oklahoma City, then they go to Brooklyn, and of course, then they go to Philadelphia. Right after that, okay, before the deadline, which is March 25th, they've got Orlando, okay, then Philly again, then Washington on the 23rd, and Washington again on the 25th, but the deadline will have passed by the time that second game has come. So you got seven games before the trade deadline. If you come out of the gate 2-5, because that's very, very fair to think that's going to happen. Are you going to consider it at least? It's not a definite. You don't trade them unless you have something that really you feel great about getting. Unless you can get somebody to overpay for him a little bit, then I think you keep him if you don't like the package. I love Julius Randle and the season that he's had and the fact that the Knicks have him locked up for next year and they don't have to go to a long-term extension yet. And it's going to cost him the same as it will this year, $20 million. Great. Great. But if we're talking about a young point guard and a couple of first-round picks, adding more picks, giving you more currency to work with, Julius Randle will not be worth more in the offseason than he will during, in and around the trade deadline, than he will this month. It's not definitive that he's going to be traded. And guys like my buddy here, David Yarrow, checking in on the comments over on the Facebook page where the live stream lives, ESPN New York's Facebook page and 98.7's Twitter handle. Julius Randle should not be traded. I think the Knicks are going to come out 3-2. I mean, let's be fair here, David, okay? At Milwaukee, at Oklahoma City, at Brooklyn, at Philadelphia, Orlando. 3-2? 3-2. Maybe. Maybe 2-3. If things broke right, maybe 2-3. 3-2? Knicks are a good team. Let's just all admit that they're not there yet. And what have we said all along? They're not beating the top three teams in the Eastern Conference in a playoff series. And they play the top three teams in the Eastern Conference. They play them four times in the first six games of the second half. This is my point. Big Ben in the Bronx is next. 98.7 ESPN. Big Ben. Ben!
Hello.
Hi, Ben.
Hey.
Ben! Well, you're gone. Colm in the Bronx is next. Colm, go for me. What do you got? Give me something.
What's going on, Carlin? I completely agree with you on your opinion on we don't know about Randle. You know, this is only a half a season where he's playing an all-star caliber, and we don't really know about a lot of these players as well, but we still have a whole second half of the year to see if he can sustain it, and we have another year in his contract left, so there's no rush to make a big hasty decision about Randle by any means necessary.
Also, no, and again, what am I saying here, Colm? If somebody's willing to overpay you to get him, then I have to consider it because, again, the long term is what we are dealing with here for the Knicks. And if those, let's just say that you got draft picks from the Sixers, okay? With all the draft picks that you have already, does that not mean that you're going to have a lot to work with? And maybe, just maybe, that next star player that we had earlier in the week, Brian Windhorst talking about, in the next year or so, who wants out of their situation and is ready to come to New York, and all of a sudden you have what you need to go get him, then you got to look at it big picture.
Yeah, I agree with you. But it's not just Randle. It's a lot of the other players, too, that people are considering about trading. It's like you look at Emmanuel Quigley, for example. The Knicks had Landry Fields and Iman Shumpert make first-team all-rookie team, and everybody was excited about them. But look what happened to them for the rest of their career. I mean, Iman Shumpert turned into an average 3-D guy for a little while, but they both became basketball irrelevancy. We don't know with all these, pretty much all of these players on the New York are wild cards at this point. We should finish out this year unless we get blown away by a trade, which I doubt the Knicks will get blown away by a trade with something so impressive. Rest on our laurels, sit on it. As a realistic Knicks fan, you look at the second half of the year, and it looks pretty daunting. I actually think the Knicks finish under 500. I have them at exactly 30 wins at this year, and they're going to be 35.
No, you got them more than 30 wins because you'd have them at 30-42 at that point. You don't have them that bad. I don't have them that bad. I mean, I was the one screaming and yelling column at the beginning of the year that they weren't winning 30 games.
My math was wrong. I meant to say 35 and 37 because I meant to say two games under 500, but I
didn't have
that.
Okay. Look, thanks for the call. It is not the idea of trading him no matter what. If you get blown away, you discuss it. That's all. If somebody is willing to give you that much, you talk about it. You talk about it. I personally would rather see them go get some help. I personally would rather see them get Oladipo or let's talk about J.J. Redick. somebody like that who could help them. Evan Fournier, somebody who could actually help them, and they could play well enough to get to the 4 or 5 seed and win a series in the playoffs. To me, that is the only way the Knicks are winning a series in the playoffs, is if they get to the 4 or 5 seed. And here's the other thing. The teams that are 7 through 10, like that whole little mini tournament thing is having its desired effect from keeping teams from tanking. That's what the league wanted, and that's what they're getting. I think that's absolutely fantastic, because more teams are interested in not necessarily playing to the middle, but competing. My problem is just looking at the situation realistically and knowing that I have to build. On the feed, yeah, Dave Yarrow, Dave Rothenberg is better. Well, yeah, of course he is. I know that. Fernando Uribe, I love Chris Carlin. Well, there you go. How about Sean Hartigan checking in with this one? Randall should not be traded. The Knicks aren't there yet, but they are not supposed to be. Maybe we'll get lucky and a star or two will actually want to sign here, and with Randall already here, that's one less piece that we have to find. Let's also understand this about Julius Randall. It better be 2 stars, because Randall's not going to be more than the 3rd best player on a championship team. That's just fact. He won't be. And if you think that he will be, you don't know the game. Because as good as he has been this year, the fact that he continues to play the amount of minutes that he does at a career high and has not a ton of support in terms of getting rest in the future and a coach that continues to want to pound you even though he's in amazing shape, all good stuff, you have to realize that at some point offensively, he is going to wear down. Big Ben in the Bronx is back. Where'd you go? You're back.
I'm right here.
All right.
So let me explain something to you. First of all, Randall is a keeper. You might as well give him an extension and let him stay. But y'all need to go after Zach LaVine out of Chicago, because he's dying over there. He's going to burn himself out over there. So you might as well get Zach LaVine to New York for Milikina and Kevin Knox in a first-round draft pick, and call it a day.
Why do you think you're going to be able to get Zach LaVine for that?
I'll be listening to you, and you got a little hatred in you, man, on our New York team, man.
No. I'm talking about long-term here, and what makes you think you're getting Zach LaVine for Nilakina Knox in a first-round pick?
That could work.
No, it couldn't work. You know why? Nilakina stinks. I don't care what anybody's saying about the last couple of games. We've seen this flash in a pan crap before, and Kevin Knox can't get off the bench.
How about Rivers then? Throw Rivers in there.
He can't get off the bench. Look, Ben, you're just throwing names up. Here is the classic, take my garbage. No, I shouldn't say garbage. People aren't garbage. Take my undesirable players and give me your desirable player.
First of all, let me tell you something. That guy don't want to be in Chicago.
I understand that, but you still have to give them something in return that is commensurate.
Well, what would you prefer? We're not giving up Randall. So we're not going to give up. You're not going to give up all the pieces that we got right now. We could use LaVine, and LaVine will pull us over the top.
Over the top?
Define
over the top.
Get to a second round playoff run.
Yeah, that's not over the top. Second round playoff run meaning win a round. That's what you're saying.
Win 2 rounds.
Yeah, you're not winning 2 rounds when the team that you're going to face in the second round is either the Nets, the Sixers, or the Bucks. That's not happening. True?
Listen, we'll see.
No, we won't, because he won't be here for that trade. Thanks for the call. I almost don't want to thank you for the call, Ben. I mean, you weren't there the first time, and then I went around for that. You're better than that. I mean, come on. Maybe you're not. I don't know. That was a terrible, 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 really bad and terrible idea. That's when it was. All of those things. Zach LaVine making 19 and a half the next 2 years. Zach LaVine, who is a really, really, really good player. And you want to give him Frank Ntilikina, Kevin Knox. Oh, you know what? Let's throw in Rivers. Oh, my God. The ridiculous. See, I'm all for the good trade suggestion. When you're going to throw that at me for a 28-point-per-game scorer, I'm going to swat that away like Dikembe Mutombo. By the way, they brought back that Mutombo Geico commercial the other day where he's running around the supermarket and the little kid holds up the cereal and he swats it away and waves the finger in his face. Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing. I'm going to tell a brief story about that. We had a buddy, this guy, I played in a rec league in New York City about 10, 15 years ago with people from the other station. And one of them was a guy named Larry Fonseca, and Larry was hysterical. He's a great guy. Larry was he was close to 7 feet if he wasn't. But he was the nicest guy on the planet. And they had this friend, this guy named, I think his name was Rich. And he was really intense, he was our team captain. But it's like, we're in a rec league. But he was really super intense. And one of our games got canceled, so we decided to play just like a pickup game, go back and forth, but full court. And Rich is wearing a full North Carolina outfit, clearly taking it entirely too seriously. And I said to Larry, if you block one of his shots and then wave your finger and smile in his face, I'll give you $50. And that's a time where I didn't have $50 to give anybody. And he did block a shot, but he didn't wave the finger in his face. We all know those guys that take the rec league just way too seriously. And Larry swatted them. Just be nice to see, like, the nicest guy on the planet who's got the greatest smile wave his finger. No, no, no. Eric in Painted Post is next, 98.7 ESPN. Eric, what's going on, dude? How are you?
Chris Carlin, it's such a pleasure to speak with you. This is the first time I've called in.
Well, I'd imagine it would be. How are you?
Nobody knows where Painted Post is when I say that. I'm 4.5 hours west of the Bronx. That's the easiest way that I can
New York?
People.
Where are you, in the Southern Tier?
Yep. I am in the Southern Tier, Steuben County. Yep. I'm Corning. Corning would be the one that probably people would recognize most.
As in Corning Glassware. Yes, absolutely.
Corning, yes.
If absolutely, I'm not mistaken, yep. You're right there on Route 15, are you not?
I'm very close to Route 15. I'm just off of there.
See, I know my back
15,
woods,
17, they all tie in together. I just went to Johnson City today to get my first vaccine shot.
Well, good. Yep. Glad to hear it. What's cooking with you?
I just wanted to kind of, well, first of all, you've been getting a lot of grief on some of the other shows. I don't think that's warranted. I think you deserve more time on some of them shows. You're a great
don't get it wrong, okay? On this station, we all bust each other's chops. That's just all in good fun. It's all good.
Well, it is. It is. On Friday, though, do you want to go, and I know most of you are married, have girlfriends, whatever, do you want to go to bed angry at night and not make up before that? And then now we got to wait 48 hours for Monday to come back along with some of the other people. So And I know it's not like that. I know. I enjoy it. I've been watching.
I think you're reading a little too much into it.
But I kind of wanted to go into the Randall thing with you. Like, you're getting a lot. The previous gentleman that called with all the trades, like, you're not getting nobody for that trade. Why not? You got to hear the offers, right?
Yeah.
And if you get one that's worth it, explore that. So,
This is the point. The Knicks are not winning a championship this year and not for the long term. What's going on is great. Everybody should feel good about that. But if you can exploit that to help you for the long haul, Eric, and thanks for the call, that is really where you have to look legitimately. They are a team that shouldn't be considering anything but the big picture right now. Anything but. Medina, Brooklyn, next, 98.7 ESPN. Medina.
What's up, Carlin?
Oh, what do you got?
Hey, sorry to change the subject real quick, but how come the media is so hard on players trying to force their way or forcing their way out of an organization?
I think it depends on the player. Who are we talking about?
It doesn't matter, either player, because sorry to bring up another show, like Michael Kay and Don, these guys, they destroy these players.
Well, the one you're talking about specifically, all right, now listen, hang on though. The one you're talking about specifically is James Harden. And
yeah,
I have a major...
James Harden.
Yeah, all right, so there are big differences for me, okay? Deshaun Watson with the Texans, who, even though he just signed a long-term contract, I have no problem with him wanting to get out of there. I really don't.
Okay.
Where my problem comes in is when you're James Harden, you have, in the course of your time in Houston, had three other stars with you, and you haven't been able to make it work with any of them, so you ran them all out of town, and then ultimately when you wanted to get out, you dogged it. That's what happened. Effort level was not there for James Harden. You can't just do it the right way. I don't have a problem if you want to get out. Just do it the right way, because that's disrespecting the game.
I have a question, though. But do you know if he tried doing it the right way? Because this is the thing. I never hear anyone saying, well, you know, he tried doing it. Because what I believe is this. I believe they did try the right way. I believe that James Harden did it the right way. He called his agent. He did everything the right way, because to me, I don't think he had any reason to do it the way.
But this wasn't going on. This whole thing was not like a six-month-long process or a year-long process. This was over the span of a couple of months. And this was James Harden just looking at the situation in Brooklyn saying, I want to be there. I don't want to be here.
Yeah, but
they did what he wanted, which was Westbrook out of town. They brought in the guy he supposedly wanted to play with in John Wall, and then he still forced his way out. I don't have a problem with a guy forcing his way out if he goes about it without disrespecting the game. And to me, when you go on the court and you're not trying, that's not right. That's it.
But
that's
Chris,
it.
How do you know?
I
how
saw
do
it.
You know
Go and watch the games. Go and tried. Look at how sloppy he is with the passing. Go and look at everything that was going on. And basically, other NBA players have acknowledged. NBA players have acknowledged that's exactly what he was doing.
Listen, please. How do you know he didn't try it to do it the right way?
I'm sorry, Medina. No, Chris. I'm sorry. We're done with the call. The point is this. Even if he tried to do it the right way and they were telling him no, it was over the span of a few weeks, like a month and a half, 2 months at the most. No. That's doing it in a way that completely disrespects the game. And to me, that's flat out garbage. I side with the player 95% of the time because contracts are a two-way street. But a lot of times, like in the NFL, they're absolutely a one-way street. Teams able to cut players with not guaranteed money, all that stuff. Player trying to get as much as he possibly can, when he can get it, do it. Absolutely do it. An NBA player wanting to get to some place where he thinks he has a better chance to win and he's tried to make it happen, by all means, do it. Don't quit on the game. James Harden quit on the Rockets. Just quit. I mean, even then, I would respect James Harden even more if he would have just said, I'm not playing until you trade me, than going on the floor and tanking it. And that is exactly what James Harden did. Tremendous job. Tremendous. From the Blues Brothers. I've caught a lot of heat. You know what? Let's go to that for a minute. You can leave it up for a sec. I have caught a lot of heat tonight because, and I understand how Don puts out lists and they're, you know, they're controversial, and sometimes they're just wrong. And Peter, you know, well, that was just a disgrace what he put out yesterday regarding the top Eddie Murphy movies. All right, you can pull it down. I love this song. But my primary thing here is the top five John Candy movies, because yesterday was the anniversary of his passing. Now, John Candy was a comedic genius, absolute genius. And this was like asking me to pick, well, I'm not going to say my favorite child because I don't have children. It's like asking me to pick my favorite heavily salted snack chip. It's not easy to do. So I did do it at the request of somebody on Twitter, because I'm not trying to rip off Don's shtick, and the list is, which I totally respect the list, but I felt the obligation, being the John Candy fan that I am. I mean, no joke. I still remember when I found out when John Candy passed away, and I was in college, and I was devastated. It was 1993, living in Stucco House at Hobart College in Geneva, New York. Absolutely devastated. But I did make the list of the top five John Candy movies of all time. And there are some honorable mentions. And there's even one or two that I forgot. But here they are. Number five, Who's Harry Crumb? If you have not seen Who's Harry Crumb, it was not a blockbuster success by any stretch. But it is John Candy playing a stupid detective, and it is as funny as it gets. He is hysterical in the role. He goes undercover a bunch of times. He's just tremendous in this little-known film. Who's Harry Crumb? It's got to be on Netflix or you know, Hulu or one of them. Check it out. I'm sure it's on YouTube. Number four, Splash. Not a movie where he dominated it. It was obviously a Tom Hanks vehicle for the most part, but John Candy plays his brother. Again, top-notch comedy. Owns, impacts the scenes that he is in. So, so good, and in so many ways, makes the movie. In one scene, playing racquetball in a sweatsuit against Tom Hanks, plays 2 points. I got to take a break. And has a cigarette and a beer. It's as good as it gets. Number three, Stripes. Stripes was a great Bill Murray, Harold Ramis movie. Outstanding. John Candy, of course, plays Dewey Oxburger. My friends call me Ox. Doctor said I swallowed a lot of aggression, a lot of pizzas too. When they're going around and introducing themselves in the army, join the army. He's talking about having to lose weight, and he says, what, you got like a 6 or 8 week program here, which is perfect for me. Later, he's mud wrestling. I mean, John Candy in stripes is awesome. Number two, Uncle Buck. I don't even have to explain myself there. Brilliant. It's such an outstanding movie, a movie that you have to watch once a year, whether it's around the holidays or whatever. Whenever it's on, you're not turning off Uncle Buck. And then the greatest Thanksgiving movie of all time is clearly his number one movie, and that is Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. As Del Griffith, he is at his peak of brilliant comedic performance. So good. And I don't think you could, look, you might be able to argue 3 through 5, 1 and 2, you are not even in the ballpark. Not even in a discussion of any of that. Honorable mentions, The Great Outdoors, outstanding movie with Dan Aykroyd. Just funny, you know, just a fun, stupid, when I say outstanding, not an Oscar movie, but, you know, a fun, stupid movie you want to watch where he's eating the old 96er and 96-ounce steak. Spaceballs, of course, great in Spaceballs. Summer Rental, another one that was mid-80s. If you haven't seen it, it's pretty funny, and he's good in it. It's, you know, he's one of the leads in it, but he's really the only well-known actor in it besides maybe Rip Torn. But he is very, very good at it. And then Michael mentioned one earlier that I didn't put on the list, but I should have. And that was Only the Lonely, which was a comedy, yes, but a little more serious. And he was in it with Ally Sheedy and Maureen O'Hara. And he's a, kind of a leading man in it. And he's very good. It's a very good movie. It's just a very sweet movie. And that's what, you know, the thing that you always hear about John Candy is he is exactly who you would want him to be if you met him. He's as sweet and as great as could have been. And that's like one guy that if I had met him, I would have just been quaking in my boots to meet him. Loved him so much. So God rest his soul on his passing, 1993, which is impossible to believe that it's almost 30 years since John Candy. Is that right? Wow. Wow. It's almost 30 years since John Candy's been gone. Damn. 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN. I was not expecting to do a list tonight, so we didn't have a lot of production around it. But because people were getting annoyed with me earlier, I felt I owed it to you with a bit of a more detailed explanation than 280 characters can provide. Can we agree on that? I think we can.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.